Are nothing if not flexible. So, which actually comes into the sermon a little bit too, so let's hang on to that for a moment. We do have some, first of all, let's try this again. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westfield. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And it's great to see everyone today. We do have a few announcements, and I'm going to start with Gene Zimmerman. Followed by Nancy.
We are talking about our Christian Fellowship meeting, which will be the 12th of February, a week from Wednesday. We're inviting you to a lunch, free of charge. However, we would like you to bring a donation of a canned goods or a box of non-perishable food, and that will go to our Westfield food pantry. And also, we're going to make Valentine cards, bring a card, or we'll have some on hand, and we'll send those to our shut-ins or other friends that we want to make a happy Valentine's Day to.
Nancy.
On behalf of our adopted school, the Westfield River Elementary School, they say that they could use some Kleenex. So lots of sniffles going around, I guess, in that school as elsewhere. And so if you are so inclined to drop off a box or two of Kleenex in a box for them next week, that will be out somewhere here. Thank you very much.
Janet St. Jean, annual meeting.
Oh.
It's in the bulletin.
Okay.
While it is in the bulletin, we are required to read this.
In accordance with the bylaws of First Congregational Church, Westfield, Massachusetts, Article 8, Section 2, the annual meeting of the church shall take place during the month of February upon a date designated by the Church Council. This year's annual meeting will take place on Sunday, February 8th. 9th. Sunday, February 9th. I can never get these things right. With a snow date of Sunday, February 16th, the meeting will take place following worship service. The reports of all officers, committees, and affiliated organizations shall be made in writing and accepted at this meeting. Officers of the church and committees shall be elected at this meeting. The nominating committee shall prepare a ballot nominating one person for each position to be filled at the annual meeting of the church. The right of a member to make nominations from the floor shall always be recognized. The ballot shall be accepted by the church at this meeting. At the annual meeting of the church, the members of the church will vote on the budget as a single, intact entity. Church Council has recommended changes to the bylaws to be voted at the annual meeting. Copies of these changes are posted outside the church office and are available in writing at the church office. Please pick up a copy. Janet St. Jean, clerk.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Also today, we celebrate the sacrament of communion. And at communion, all of the bread is gluten-free. So if that is a concern for you, please know that we are safe. And it tastes very good. So that's fine. Bless Minds will be open today, correct? From 10:30 until 11:30 after church. Thursday and Friday evening, we had over 300 people visit First Congregational Church with the Westfield Historical Society Ghost Talks. And it was a privilege for me to be able to represent First Congregational Church and participate as one of the ghosts. So, and many of the people hadn't been here. So again, we, through our hospitality and, dare I say, extravagant welcome, we're able to let people in and to experience First Congregational Church. So we continue to do that. It continues to be an awesome thing. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship, found printed in your worship guide. Come, hear the call of God. Speak of me to my people.
When we are just ordinary people, who will listen?
I will give you the words. I will always be with you as you speak my words of truth and justice and love.
We have here to worship you, to praise you for your love and presence, and to strengthen for the calling.
Please join me in the opening hymn, number 105, in the blue hymnal, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Oh, splendor of God's glory bright. It is still 105. It's not Lori's fault. So it is 105.
And they fixed it.
It's all right.
Glory, 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 glory,
confession is found in your worship guide. God of past, present, and future, you sent us prophets throughout the years to speak the truth to us, but we have conveniently ignored what we didn't want to hear. Forgive us, O God, for our stubbornness and short-sightedness. We give you thanks, O God, for prophets you have sent and continue to send us. Call upon us to listen, O God, to repent and to change our ways. In the name of Christ, the one who laid down his life for us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Even before we were born, God knew us. God has always been with us. Let us place our trust in God's presence and forgiving love. Rejoice. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Amen.
What does it mean to love our children? May I begin by saying, as an adult, I want my family to learn the skills and character traits I feel are right. Sometimes, though, in my quest to pass on my expertise, I forget that there are more important lessons for me to remember. For me, this is and always will be a work in progress. The disciple, as you recall, wrote his beliefs in the form of letters to the Corinthians. It is likely that his most well-known letter is about love. So the following is my take on part of this letter. Paul says, love is patient. I say, I'll give you time each morning to wake up and let you be as grouchy as you need to, as long as you need to. Paul says, love is kind. I say, when you are wrong or forget things, I won't rub in your mistake. And that was really hard for me. Paul says, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. I say, I try not to put you in your place. I know you almost always try to do your best. I won't put you down. Paul says, love does not insist on its own way. I say, even though I think I know the best way to clean the house, practice the piano, comb your hair, and decide what to wear each day, I won't make you do it that way. Paul says, love is not irritable. I say, if I'm in a bad mood, I'll try my best not to take it out on you. Paul says, love keeps no record of wrong. I say, I promise I won't remind you that it's the fifth time you left your socks, sneakers, underpants, or whatever in the bathroom on the floor. And will you please remember to flush the toilet? Paul says, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. I won't say, I can't believe you messed that up again. Paul says, but rejoices in the truth. I will say, you are so smart, so witty, so caring, and so special to me. Paul says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I say, there is nothing that you can do that will make me stop loving you. Amen. Amen.
Church school.
Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now the word of God, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading from Psalm 71. "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel.
For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth.
From my birth I have leaned on you, my protector since my mother's womb. My grace is continually on you."
A reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. "If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. But then, we will see face to face. Now, I know only in part. Then, I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love remain, these three, and the greatest of these is love." Our God is still speaking. Our gospel reading this morning is a continuation of the gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath at Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Don't get any ideas. I'm not going up to Mount Tekoa near any of you. I'm coming down there for a little bit. Then I can turn around and block you too. Let's see if I can make this work. I think it's going to go like, I'm going to look like a telemarketer, I think, here, but it's all right. It's going to work. How many of you have seen The Big Bang Theory on TV? All right. How many have seen the prequel show, Young Sheldon? So in that show, I mean, so it's just a precursor to the show, but Sheldon's brother becomes a pop. And he's there with the babies in the car seat and the babies up on the counter, so he's watching and he's singing to her. And the show is set in Texas. So he sings to her so that she knows and starts early on, even at 1 month, 2 month old, that the stars of night are big and bright. He even does the claps. He says it's 4 claps deep in the heart of Texas. All right. So they're singing that. He and Meemaw both are singing deep in the heart of Texas. So I got to thinking one day, I see the show a lot because it comes on TBS at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so that I'm not inundated with talking heads from various news sources, sometimes I end up watching Young Sheldon for a little while, just until I wake up and I'm ready to hear what's going on in the world. So I see that. And every time that episode, I've seen that episode a few times, and then it shows up online. But every time I do that, I change the words a little bit. And it comes out to deep in the heart of Westfield. Because here I am sometimes in the wilds. So at least the people in Springfield think you're way out west, by the way. So, but deep in the heart of Westfield. So this song hits me like an earworm. Did you ever hear the term earworm? It plays over and over in your head sometimes on a loop. And you can be walking. And it goes on in your head and you can't get it out. That's what song I have been singing all week long. This one. So, but to deepen the heart of Westfield. Deep in the heart of Westfield, we have been here a long time. The other night, sitting right there, it dawned on me that as we were commemorating and celebrating the 250th anniversary of the start of the American Revolution, do you realize that this church had been here almost 100 years by that point? By 1775, we had been here for 96 years already, and probably longer. It's just that Reverend Taylor never got around to officially establishing, and they never had an official start date. So, the city of Westfield says 1669, First Congregational Church uses 1679. If you were wondering, that's what the difference is. But when we first started, we were the only church in town. Now, most people here know that towns or villages or settlements in Massachusetts Bay Colony could not be recognized until they had contracted the services of an ordained minister and established a church, so that the church was the first thing done. Hence, we've been around as long as Westfield has. We were established as the First Church of Christ, congregational, which means I'm sure we can find the exact date, but we became First Congregational Church of Westfield, probably when Second Congregational Church opened, so that there would be some sort of distinction between the two. But that is not where I'm not worried about the name. What I'm concerned about is being the heart of Westfield and being here and what it meant for us to survive 8 major wars at least. Many small skirmishes. Even just think about things that have happened in our lifetimes, which range from 40-something years, I think, in the room. Actually, I'm sorry, choir, from at least maybe 20 years ago, the last 20 years, up to the last 90-something years. Through all of that, our church has been considered the heart of Westfield. We have survived, and that heart beats deeply in this area. The heart can't exist the way that it has in our church without love. Because Paul tells us right in that letter, it's one of my favorite readings, in case you couldn't tell. And I love to do that interpretation of it, because I want people to hear it the way that it was probably proclaimed to them the first time. If we do what we do, and we don't have love, we're nothing. It's like, why bother? Sure, we can feed the homeless or any neighbor who needs a meal on Mondays. We can give our clothes away to those from the thrift shop, from Blessed Buys, because they do that as well. They take care of the neighbors quietly. No one knows. I don't even know who gets what. I have no idea. But it's done. We have some food carts that we're able to give out. And on a rare occasion, we'll even help somebody pay their utility bill. Those things are all wonderful and great things that we do.
We also do things right here within worship and educate our children and take part in that faith formation. But if we do these things and we do them without love, what good is it? What good does it do us? Here's what I'm hoping. Well, we have Valentine's Day in February, right? And we have hearts. And we have candy. Maybe some people get jewelry. I haven't received jewelry in 62 years. I'd like some. But anyway, kidding, don't. Amen. But they're all expressions of love. You can give the heart, you can give the Valentine's card. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse, your partner, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, or your friends, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, whoever is out there. If we don't have love, it's an empty gift. It doesn't mean anything. Here's my hope for all of us, and myself included, that we take this month of February and we do some reflecting and praying about love. We already know that God loves us and that we love God. That love of God, of course, is unconditional, and we've spent hours talking about that. We'll probably spend hours more. However, I want all of us to think about what it means to truly love and to do what we do out of love, so that we are not a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let's do these things in the name of love. Amen.
As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of our prayer list and our requests that are listed in our worship guide. We're also ever mindful of those people who need our prayers, for the victims of plane crashes in D.C. and in Philadelphia, and even more, their families, their loved ones who are left behind to mourn and grieve the loss. We continue to pray for the victims of natural disasters. Our own Julie will be back today from California, and I'm hoping that she'll be able to share some of the things. And I thanked her for not being a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, but for going out and to show that love in action. So we pray for Julie and for those responders as well. And of course, we remember those prayers and thoughts and requests that we made in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you.
And also with you.
Please, pray with me. Your love, O God, is patient. We give thanks for all those who have been patient with us and have taught us and cared for us. And we pray for the patience to love others as you have loved us. Your love is kind. You give us the courage to be kind to others and to serve those with patience who are so often unkind or rude or difficult to love or our enemies. They are your children and our sisters and brothers, and they were made in your image.
Your love, O God, is not pompous. You give us insight to speak the truth in love and for the sake of your kingdom, and not out of a need to appear clever or right. And in all our relationships, give us the wisdom to listen far more than we speak. Your love does not seek its own interest. We thank you and pray for those who serve the poor and those in need, who give tirelessly of themselves, and who have much to do and little time for themselves. Your love is not quick-tempered. We pray for those who are angry, and for the violent and for their victims, for children who fear, for elders who are abused, and people trapped in relationships that injure and harm. Your love bears all things. We remember before you those with heavy burdens, many cares, much stress, and too little comfort and help. Open our eyes to those around us and their needs, and give us the wisdom to offer help without pride or sense of superiority. Lord, your love never fails. Even death does not trespass on the breadth and depth of your love. We thank you for those we have loved in this life and who now dwell in the peace and joy of your presence. And let your comfort settle on those who are bereaved or who are lonely this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
My friends, we have been called to speak and to live out the sometimes radical, sometimes not, but always abiding love of God in the world. We do so by offering all that we are, all that we do, and all that we have, knowing that God will use us and our gifts to bring the beloved community ever closer to being realized in the world. Today, as we present our offerings, I invite us to do so believing that great things are possible for those who see great human need as a call to advance the love and compassion of the Church of Jesus Christ. Let us be that kind of church, because we have love, especially because our forebears taught us to do so. With that, our offering will now be received.
Thank you.
received our gifts of self and substance. They have belonged to you since our very beginning. We give them freely, joyfully, prayerfully. With them we praise you. With them we celebrate the great power that love is, a love that abides always, a love that lovingly transforms, and a love that makes us whole. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed be God, who feeds the hungry, who raises the poor, who fills our praise. All are welcome at this table of the Lord. Let all who seek, believe, or want to believe come to this table. And may God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. It is truly right to give you thanks. It is fitting that we offer you praise, God of mercy, faithful God. You sent Jesus Christ, your Son, among us as Redeemer and Lord. He was moved with compassion for the poor and the powerless, for the sick and the sinner. He made himself neighbor to the oppressed. By his words and actions, he proclaimed to the world that you care for us as a parent cares for his or her children. And so, in grateful procession of endless praise, with the church that is, was, and shall be forever, we glorify you in song. Praise, O God, for you are indeed holy, and all creation rightly gives you thanks and praise. All life, all holiness comes from you, through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. From age to age, since 1679, you have gathered a people here in Westfield to praise you, so that from north to south, east to west, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. And so, God, we bring you these gifts. We ask you to make them holy by the power of your Spirit, that they may become for us our spiritual nourishment, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us this gift at the last Passover meal he celebrated with his disciples. In the midst of that meal, Jesus took the bread, but he dispensed with the regular blessing. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." When it came time to share the cup, Jesus again dispensed with the regular blessing. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. Through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. Come, for all things are ready.
Thank you.
ministering to you in his name, I give you the cup.
Please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving is found in your worship guide. We give you thanks and praise, O God, that you have fed us with your mercy and poured out your Spirit in this place. Continue to nourish and fill us each day, that we may live as your beloved people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God.